Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is excited to announce this year's community-wide picnic will be in Launce. We would love to have you join us from noon to 3 on Sunday, July 30th at the Waterfront Park in Launce for a fun-filled and free afternoon. Bring your friends, family, and loved ones. Enjoy a complimentary lunch and a variety of activities, including a pop-up farmers market, an expose for local organizations, games, live music, bounce houses, and great raffle prizes. Go to coppershores.org/picnic for more information.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. Remember, as we broadcast this on Sunday morning, their big community picnic is going on later today, noon until 3 at Launce Waterfront Park. Free lunch, entertainment. You can meet a lot of folks. There'll be a farmer's market that's involved in that. Lots of good things going on. So check it out between noon and 3 at beautiful Launce Waterfront Park. We talk about downtown Houghton today with City Manager Eric Wara. We're kind of halfway through, I suspect, the big parking deck project, and I thought it would be an opportunity to see where we stand on things, find out where we're going on things, and see if we've learned anything as we've gone through the first few months of this. So, Eric, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Well, How much time do you have?
I know this has been, and every project like this becomes an adventure, because we can look at a big item like a parking deck from the outside, and we can speculate about what's going on inside, but we can't really see inside until we start tearing it apart. So once we started tearing that deck down, what did we find?
Well, it's kind of like tearing down an old house. Once you get into, like you said, once you get into the walls, then you start to find out what's in there. But, here we are today, it's down. Vite, the subcontractor, they've gone back to the shop and probably on to the next job. Initially when they were, they started to mobilize and get things set, they actually had to order more protective equipment and shoring and things like that, just because of the condition of the deck. The superintendent running the job had done, tens of these types of decks, taking them down, and he figured he needed more shoring to do this. And in some cases, even while they were taking it down, they had to weld in additional steel in strategic locations. Because when they did take it down, there was a demolition plan that every phase of that demolition plan was designed by a structural engineer to not, cause other damage or whatever. But, the little anecdotal things where, they started working by the public library and a piece of concrete fell out, a couple hundred feet away. Even after they cut the, separations in the slab to limit the amount of vibration in that, but there was still, that's why that area was, locked down and secured while they were doing it, because something that old in that condition, there was some unpredictability which they wanted to take out of the equation.
Well, and I think perhaps many people who are not familiar with the construction business and engineering, this is not the kind of project you can just approach with a bulldozer and say, hey, let's take it down.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of people, that should be, it'd be very easy to take down if nothing else mattered. There weren't, operating businesses literally 3 inches away, or people's homes weren't, surrounded by this, it would have been a very easy thing to take down. And they really, as violent as, the takedown was, you watched that shear on that big excavator, and what it was doing to it was kind of a sight to behold.
Yeah.
But it was actually very surgical in the way they did it. And we were very fortunate during the demolition. Incidents were minor in most cases. If there was an incident, we did seismic monitoring during the process. We literally had seismographs strategically placed to make sure that nothing, if something fell, it didn't, rattle the earth, so to speak. Most of the incidents that we had were literally somebody accidentally kicked the box that it was in,
or and then you've got a then suddenly and, you've got and then a, of course an earthquake.
Yeah, well, then the alarm goes off, and there was an email chain, and fortunately, we didn't have any seismic events that exceeded the recommended thresholds for this type of work, which was we're fortunate. But so many of the other things they found, just, you know, there's photography and reports coming out on a lot of this stuff. But, you know, people can speculate all they want. But when you look at one of the H piles, which held the deck up, the part below grade was rusted through in some cases. And, you know, it was still holding it up, but it was time, you know, and we could have, you know, like you said, you learn a lot of things by taking something apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of those, like you said, those H posts, they would just seem to be standing there out of habit.
Well, I mean, everything is, you know, gravity faces, you know, pulls everything down towards the center of the earth.
Yeah.
But some of them they pulled on and they just folded right over. You know, it's surprisingly. And some pulled over. Some of them were still doing their job, you know, holding all the weight they should, but others weren't. And it's, again, you know, we've had multiple engineering firms look at this over the last few years, and yes, it was time to take it down because honestly, yes, we could have fixed this, but we don't have the money to fix something like that.
Well, and starting to fix something like that, if you have to start replacing those support poles that hold it up, you're talking huge amounts of money, and you're talking a major project that's going to shut the deck down for a lengthy period of time.
And essentially, you would have had to do what you were doing right now, and you'd have to take a lot of it down just to fix it. That's, you know, that's the way this thing was designed. And, you know, we talked about this months ago, the way this parking deck was designed, the actual engineering design of this was cutting edge back in the day.
And we learned after
about 5 years day, after
yeah, that they maybe shouldn't have been employed in our neighborhood.
Yes. And that was the American Concrete Institute quit recommending building post tensioned, thin slab, steel supported structures like this in northern climates because of all the problems that we lived with over the years.
And you don't necessarily fault the people who built it. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
No,
it was recommended at the time.
Absolutely. I mean, the city got some grant dollars, the city bonded some dollars and built that deck, and that deck did serve the city very well. For a long time.
Well, and I would say if we've discovered that some of those posts weren't really holding up much of anything at all, as we tear it down 50 years later, it would seem to me that that means that at some point there was some good concepts and construction in this there was some redundancy.
Oh, basically. Yeah, there's the thing called factor of safety. When in structural engineering, the factor of safety, the probability of failure, you need to reduce that, you know, to an acceptable level. I mean, no failure is acceptable, but in designing something, you over-design it, essentially, to create a factor of safety, and we were into our factor of safety.
Yeah, I know that comes into effect with large bridges as well.
Yes.
The Mackinac Bridge, if one of those cables breaks, the bridge isn't going to fall in because theoretically others will hold
exactly.
It up. Exactly. And that's what you build that intentionally.
Right.
Because you don't want a catastrophe.
Exactly. It's kind of like you don't build a house you don't build things out of matchsticks where one matchstick is holding everything up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same principle. You have multiple matchsticks. So if one of those matchsticks gets taken out, the whole thing doesn't fall down.
So basically now the entire structure is gone. I'm hearing some comments among them. Gee, I think it looks better without the deck there. I'm hearing that from people.
Yes, I've been hearing the same. I mean, there's still haters out there, but you know, largely the comments that I've been hearing just from folks I run into on the street or on the phone, it's wow. You know, I think once the project, you know, which is, you know, which we can talk about the rest of the project itself. Once that really starts to take shape down there, and people can actually start to circulate down there, with the backs of the buildings exposed, it's going to be completely different down there, and it's going to be better. And we've just added another asset to downtown Houghton.
Yeah, it's a situation, we've talked about this before, that 60, 70, 100 years ago, nobody cared about the waterfront.
No.
That was the industrial area. That was the waste disposal area.
That's where your trains were and a few warehouses. That's where you dumped your broken concrete and building materials in some cases.
That's where you exited your sewer.
That too. And when the deck was built, it was still like that down there.
Yeah, there were still industrial buildings there. The library wasn't there at that point.
No, it was mud and railroads.
Yeah.
Mud and railroad tracks and weeds.
And, of course, now we're in the process of recognizing waterfront as a different type of asset
right.
to the community. It's a scenic asset. It's a recreational asset to the community. And it's difficult to turn cities around to focus on the waterfront when they were intentionally built to ignore it.
Yes. And that's one thing in Houghton here. We're fortunate that, you know, the planning that took place starting in the 70s, you know, it was very intentional that we're going to turn ourselves toward this waterfront because, you know, the way it is now, I mean, that's one thing. A lot of people don't realize it wasn't always like this.
No, and you credit Ray Kessner, who was the city manager here many, many years ago, and for many, many years. The park is named after him because he was the one, largely, certainly one of the ones.
Oh, he pushed and he pushed, and he did a lot of things to that we're all benefiting from now, be it just a resident having a wonderful park system to really look through the years where people thought they were nuts.
Well, and I've talked with Scott McInnes about this before, who was involved in those early years
right.
as well and later became city manager. And he said, yeah, there were people who thought we were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was really difficult to pay for it all. We went through some lean financial times
Definitely.
Because it was expensive. But look at the benefit that it's paying now.
Yeah, and I think that you really have to credit, you know, the city management, the planning that was done because they were playing the long game.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing those benefits of them playing the long game.
And you really don't see any place in the Upper Peninsula, any city that has a waterfront now that matches what Houghton has to offer. Marquette has done some things along its waterfront, obviously, and other cities have too. Sault Ste. Marie has the locks.
The locks
there.
And the canal, yeah.
But, you know, this long stretch of public land, green space that people can walk on, bike on, and enjoy.
Pull up to in their boat, get a pizza, you know, spend a Friday night, go out on a date, you know, take the kids for a bike ride. That was always the intent, and now we have that, and we need to make good use of it.
So the deck is down. Obviously, there's more work to be done on the site. The site needs to be fixed up, remediated, whatever you want to call it at this point. Do you have any toxic stuff there that needs to be remediated? Or do we have any brownfield issues?
Not that we know of. You know, everything, you know, there was some asbestos on the deck, which we had remediated before the contractors even got here. We had that done earlier this year, knowing that we're tearing it down. We don't want to deal with that during the demolition.
No.
So we actually had a company come up and remediate it.
Yeah, that's dicey stuff.
That is dicey stuff. And it's, so we had that done, but by and large, that area, funny enough, a lot of that area there was some warehouses and there was this and that on there, but there wasn't a whole lot down there.
Well, that was that was the back side. The warehouses were out on the area that is along the waterfront. This would have been kind of the back side of those warehouses, the parking, the transportation.
Yeah, you think of where the everybody calls it the condo down there, the lone building that was in between the two halves of the parking deck. That's kind of what was down there because the ships would come in, the railroad tracks were right there on the waterfront, and then you had the warehouses, and there was a little bit of a street, and then you went to the buildings, you know, that we see there today.
Yeah, so that wasn't necessarily where a lot of the industrial heavy stuff was. That was, ironically, probably closer to the waterfront.
Or further out, you know, from downtown. This was still downtown then, but it was a heck of a lot easier for the ship to park in downtown and bring the, you know, the bananas up to the grocery store versus parking down, let's say, in Kessner Park.
Talking with Houghton City Manager Eric Wara, what happens next to that property and what kind of timetable are we looking at?
Well, what happens next is that property is going to be two big parking lots and you know, a green space, walkable area. We're going to be building two big rain gardens down there for stormwater management, formal rain gardens, not just a garden, but there's a principle, a design principle where you install the right plants with the right grades and that helps stormwater uptake. Long term, that's going to be up to the community. You know, whether it's there's it stays a parking lot forever, or it something's built there, just for keep it that generic, something's built there, that's going to be up to the community and the city council, the planning commission, and the residents of Houghton to decide.
Is there a timetable for looking at that? Or are we simply at the point where we're saying, hey, let's get this done, maybe live with it for a little while, see if we like it or not, and then make a move?
Well, I think, you know, probably as we get into the end of this year, it's time to start looking at it. But it's going to take time to decide that, and time to get the input. You know, we had, you know, there was a plan 3 years ago to do something there. You know, we all know what happened there. History's history.
Well, and what we learn from that is that there are a lot of strong feelings about what might happen there. It could be challenging to go forward and come up with a plan.
It could, and that's why we'll just approach it that way. Because when you really get down to it, this is it's, you know, arguably some of the most valuable property in Houghton, considering its location and what the community wants it to be. I guess we'll let them decide.
So, parking through the summer. As I have been in downtown a few times, it has been a little bit tight.
It can be challenging. It
has been a little bit tight. Of course, part of the reason for that is that there are no parking spaces, obviously, where the deck used to be. Eventually, there will be some,
yes,
at least for the time being. Will that kind of alleviate some of the parking congestion we've seen this summer?
Because, I mean, while parking's been challenging, it's also a matter of perspective. When you think about it, the 300 odd parking spots represented above and below of that deck have been out of service since summer started, essentially since just at, you know, after Memorial Day.
Yeah.
When you think about it. And guess what? You can still find a spot to park in Houghton.
Yeah.
And that might not be that ultra convenient spot that, you know, you always use that spot when you go here or whatever, but they are out there. But that will, with the movement of the folks that used to park on the deck with permits, we shifted them to the side streets and the other decks, which they've been using that. But you also see where the trend lines lead. You know, well, this is really dense parking here. Everybody wants to park on Dodge Street, say. You know, there's a lot of people that want to park on Dodge, which used to park on the other side of Sheldon on the parking deck. Well, and we're going to be opening up some temporary parking actually very soon. There's some strategic concrete pours, which have to happen with the restoration, but we'll be able to open up some of the old parking on the ground parking, of course.
Yeah.
We'll be able to open that up just so we can hopefully take off some of that pressure. But then too, when you really get down to the question of parking, there was a planner, and I forget the gentleman's name, so he's going to have to forgive me, but he had a very, very cool statement that, you know, if you don't have a parking problem, you're not in a good place.
It's interesting. It's interesting because I have talked with parking engineers in the past, mm-hmm, who have said that it's always important to have open spaces, because if you don't have open spaces, people think your businesses are full and they won't stop.
Yeah. So it's a balance, and every parking study we've had has shown there's a surplus of parking. We're going to be digging into that surplus here. We're not going to be filling that we're not going to be using up that surplus, but we're going to be digging into that surplus. And then as we go, we can look for other opportunities to improve parking.
Now, speaking of that, we have several other parking decks, mm-hmm, in town. There's one at the west edge of town. There's one across from the Vault Hotel. Mm-hmm. There's another one up behind UP Engineers and Architects.
Yeah.
What kind of condition are those decks in? Are those city decks or are those privately owned?
Well, the decks themselves are city decks. They're on city property and they're permit parking. But the way those decks, they didn't build these decks the way they built that one.
No, I can tell by looking at them. Yes. There's thicker concrete there.
And it's a different style of concrete. And actually we did some work on on all of them, some at different levels of work, to preserve them, because this is a lot easier to these are a lot easier to fix up and keep up.
Well, they're a lot simpler. They're basically just two level decks,
right?
A ground level and a top level.
And just honestly, the way they were constructed, they're going to last longer. But again, being smaller, we can afford to maintain these, which we've put money into, significant money over the last 6 years into them, to keep them up, and they're going to last us a long time.
So we're not looking at another situation with those three little decks like we saw with the big one.
Well, these ones, even like we were talking about the way they were constructed, if there was a problem, if ever there was a problem with the concrete, a real problem, you could literally just lift, they're called T-beams. They're precast T-beams. They make them in Wisconsin. You could order some new T-beams and put new T-beams on there, and you're better than new.
So much easier to maintain. And because they're so simple, even if you had to tear them down and replace them, you're not talking the world.
Right. And that style of construction is actually less expensive than, what was done in 78 when they put the big deck up.
So, as we're recording this on Thursday morning, last night at the Houghton City Council meeting, there was discussion about parking ordinances, regulations. What changes have been made? What decisions were made?
Well, last night the council passed recommended changes to our parking ordinance. And it was a couple of just very subtle, simple, but unfortunately necessary changes. Even before the parking deck was taken down, before things got a little tighter this summer here for a while, we had a perennial problem with folks that would park downtown on Sheldon Avenue. And of course, that's, everybody says, well, that should be for the customers, that should be for, visitors. But we had people that work downtown and live downtown that would park on Sheldon Avenue and, believe it or not, move their car every 2 hours to avoid getting a parking ticket.
And can I just say that's a pet peeve of mine? I mean, I grew up in a family business. I started working at my grandfather's lumberyard when I was 14. And of course, the first couple of years,
you
I
weren't
had
allowed to but work. You weren't allowed to park in front of the front door, were you?
The first time I actually drove myself to work after I got my driver's license, I parked at the back door that some contractors used, though, to get in and out. And I heard very quickly from my grandfather, you do not park by the door. You park over there in the back of the lot because that spot is available for customers, and we need to have that available.
Exactly.
And I learned my lesson right from the start, and it's a lesson that everybody needs to learn in the Copper Country, especially in places like downtown Houghton, downtown Hancock, where we have visitors coming through. And they say, oh, gee, what a nice looking shop that is. I wonder if I could stop. Oh, no parking space. Guess I'll have to go on.
Yeah. One of the issues that we have is things fill up. And again, the spot hopping. So that's one thing we did with the parking ordinance. We borrowed some language from Wausau, Wisconsin, who, guess what, had the same problem in some of their downtown. So essentially our new ordinance does not, it recognizes that people repark is the actual term, reparking your car. And, Kathy would go out and do her rounds and parking enforcement. She'd walk by, somebody would tell somebody in the business, they would hop out and drive their car down two parking spaces, I moved my car. And, it was legal to do that before. Is it right to do it? No, it's not. So now, and really, we had 30 vehicles on any given day was kind of the operating number on her observations. We had about 30 vehicles that routinely do that downtown.
And, I'm betting that by the time you leave your job three times during the day or such to go out, move your car, come back in, I'm betting it takes no longer to do that than it does to walk from a parking place. It would be much more appropriate.
It would be much more appropriate, but a lot of people have said, we don't have a parking problem, we have a walking problem. And we do. I mean, even the visitor you mentioned that might drive by that place where there's a car parked in front, in a lot of cases, does not want to walk that one or two blocks. But that's just, unfortunately, that's society. But if we truly want to succeed, maybe we need to recognize that those spaces need to be available for those visitors, for those customers, instead of, well, yeah, I pay taxes, so I should be able to park in front of my front door, or worse yet, in front of my neighbor's front door.
Yeah, because you're not just blocking people from your business. You're blocking people from everyone's.
From your neighbors as well.
Everyone's business. And that's just something, and we got to get things wrapped up here. But it's always been a pet peeve of mine. You know, if you're not doing business at that business or one of the adjacent businesses, mm-hmm. find somewhere else to park. It's just good courtesy, convenience, and respect for the people who are running those businesses.
Exactly.
So, Eric Wara, we'll keep an eye on how things are going and hope to have you back soon for an update.
Sounds good. Take care.
Copper Country Today continues in a moment.